be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." He replied, "What do you wish me to do for you?" They answered him, "Grant that in your glory we may sit one at your right and the other at your left." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking. Can you drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" They said to him, "We can." Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right or at my left is not mine to give, but is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at James and John. Jesus summoned them and said to them, "You know that those who are recognized as rulers over the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones make their authority over them felt. But it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord. We live in a world where ambition, the desire to advance, success, being number one, the most powerful, the richest, become the reason why we live. Everyone knows who won the gold medal in the Olympics. Nobody remembers who won the silver or the bronze, or for that matter, who competed. Number one, the head honcho, the most admired. That's what the world tells us is important. To reach the top so that others can admire us and serve us. In stark contrast to that, we have Jesus inviting us to be humble, saying that the last will be the first, asking us to serve others, to become slaves, to let go of everything that binds us, to empty ourselves. One rainy day during the American Revolutionary War, a man on a horse rode up to a group of soldiers attempting to raise a wooden beam to a high position as part of the construction of a fort. The captain in charge was shouting encouragement, but the soldiers couldn't get the beam in position. After watching their lack of success, the man asked the captain why he didn't join in helping. To which the captain replied, "Don't you realize that I am the captain and I'm in charge?" The man dismounted his horse and went to work with the soldiers to get the oak beam in position. The man wiped the perspiration from his face, climbed on his horse, and said to the captain, "If you should need help again, call on me. My name is George Washington, your commander-in-chief, and I will come." Over the last few weeks, St. Mark has been painting the 12 apostles with dark colors. They have not yet become the great heroes of our church. They are Jesus' companions, but neither his message nor his example has penetrated them. They continue to be discouraged students who are more concerned with their personal ambitions than with the teachings of the Master. They fight for the first place Everyone wants to be the captain of Team Jesus. And they go around saying, that person is not one of us. Shut up and get out. Or, we have left everything to follow you. What will be our reward? Today, John and his brother James ask for the impossible, to sit one on his right and the other on his left in the future kingdom of Jesus. Jesus talks about service. James and John think about power. The distance between Jesus' teaching and what they are willing to accept is huge. The apostles had the best teacher, and yet they were stuck. They were not moving forward as they should have been. After graduating from college as a civil engineer, I was hired by the State Department of Transportation to begin my professional career. I was one of many recently graduate engineers from universities in the region in Oklahoma, Kansas, Iowa, Nebraska, Missouri, Texas, and Oklahoma. We were part of a training program that was targeting a new generation of engineers to take over the management of the organization. We were being prepared because the managers at that time were very close to retirement, and some of us were going to be chosen to replace them. I was one of close to 200 engineers in the program, and there were only 50 management positions to fill. Because of this, we were so focused on trying to shine, bragging about which school's engineering program was better, and developing friendships with the people who would decide who gets promoted and who doesn't. Selfishness controlled the lives of many, mine included, because we wanted to be in the most important positions in the agency. For many years, I lived that life, trapped in a wave that was taking me away from who I was and providing no escape. Until one day, almost kicking and screaming, I was persuaded to participate in a spiritual retreat. The experience changed my life. God disarmed me. He took away the weapons of envy, of pride, of ambition, of selfishness, of feeling superior to others, and reminded me of what is really important in my life: humility, love, family, faith, church, and service to others. That is why I do not get discouraged, and I hope you do not either. We have been listening to Jesus' message for a long time, and sometimes it seems that we have not changed anything. We keep thinking like men. We crave for recognition. We can blame the parish priest or the deacon, the society that catechizes us, our selfishness and ambition. But who could the apostles blame? Blame Jesus? And he tells them, but it shall not be so among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you will be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you will be the slave of all. Everything in us seems to reject the notion of service, to eclipse oneself, to give of ourselves. We fight it. Get rid of the titles, the rank, the authority, the I am the captain, I am the boss, I am the deacon, or I am the one who gives the orders. And serve? It's a supernatural task. George Washington dismounted his horse, removed the gallons that identify him as a general, and served. During the Last Supper, Jesus said to the apostles, I have given you an example. Do the same. The only title that fits Jesus is that of a servant, that of a man for others. Jesus does not ascend the ladder of triumph. He goes down all the steps to become our servant. Jesus eliminated the law of the strongest, the most powerful, and established the law of the one who loves most, who serves the most, who gives the most. He does not promise John and James that they are going to become ministers of a worldly kingdom. He offers them to drink from the cup of suffering and life given by the gospel. Titles do not give hope. Servants do. But it shall not be so among you, Jesus keeps reminding us and the apostles. If the fuel of our heart is ambition, advancement, success, recognition, we cannot distinguish ourselves from others because we neither look at Jesus nor do we look at others. Looking at others instead of looking at ourselves is the first step towards service. We should always be looking at Jesus as our model of life and let him energize our actions. Is Jesus our model? Last October 14th, the church celebrated the canonization of Monsignor Oscar Arnulfo Romero. When they told him in 1977 that Pope Paul VI had appointed him Archbishop of San Salvador, the first words that came out of his mouth were, "I am not qualified." He had the reputation of being a bookworm, an introvert, and aloof to many. Those close to him thought that he was unaware of what was happening around him. And yet, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he managed to become the leader of the Salvadorian Catholic people during one of the most difficult moments in the country's history. He gave a voice to those who had no voice, reminding the powerful that we are all equal in the eyes of God. He criticized the oppression and military violence in his country. He gave himself totally to his people, loving them, defending them, and serving them. He gave everything, even his own life. He was killed while elevating the sacred host during the celebration of the Mass, so that he would be quieted once and for all. And those who perpetrated this vile act never imagined that his words would continue to echo and that his example, his life, and his martyrdom would make him a saint of the church. In that spirit that helped Monsignor Romero to drink from the cup, Jesus' cup, is the same spirit that helps us to detach ourselves from triumphant illusions in order to be reborn, feeling like God's beloved children, and enabling us to see others with the eyes of God, always ready to serve with humility and expecting nothing in return. It's a new life, it's a new identity, a new commitment, new loyalty, and new dreams at the service of the kingdom of God. For those who live in a free society like ours, the risks of we have to take on are more difficult and more involved. John and James finally drank the cup and toasted, not because they sat at the right hand and the left hand at the feast of an earthly kingdom, but because they drank from the cup of suffering and martyrdom, the cup of service to others. John and James, in the light of the resurrection, understood that true baptism involves service to others and that shedding of blood to make present the forgiveness of God. And as followers of Jesus, we are called to do the same. Do we understand that?